Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a putz. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250 in the studio with Jerry Agar, Conservative News Talk 1010 co-host. By the way, are you okay with that moniker all the time? Conservative talk show host? Are you okay with that?
Well, it's true.
Yeah, but are you okay with it?
Yeah.
I don't like labels. So.
No? I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy as well. We'll do that one as well.
That Jerry, way you don't have to say really good talk show host.
No, no. We don't have to make any commentary on what he's actually like. On the phone with us is Mr. Tal Backman, a recording artist and a bunch of other things. Tal, how you doing, man?
Great, how are you?
That's the best intro I've ever given you.
You've given me a lot of good ones over the years.
Recording artist and a bunch of other things. Yeah. We're just talking about you off here. I'd like to introduce you, Jerry Agar, Tal Backman. Tal, this is Jerry Agar.
Hi, Tal.
Hi, Jerry.
Tal, are you a conservative or liberal, or do you not want a label?
I think I defy description, but...
Yeah, that's a true story there, Ian Starglow. But you live out there in hippie land. You're in Treehuggerville, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty liberal area.
What are you, packing for a trip?
I was in my car. I just pulled over so I could do this radio.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. That's how conscientious I am. Yeah, I mean, I'm on Vancouver Island, so... Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of rainbow unicorn type people out here. But
is that you, though? Is that you?
I try to be realistic.
Okay. So
that was what I was doing.
Yeah, that's not what I went. We can't. We don't have enough room for two realists on this show.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to say that conservatism equals, you know, always realism, because I don't think you could say that, because the meaning of conservatism changes, of course, depending on where you are and what year it is, but yeah, I try to be realistic.
All right, don't try to outsmart me. Let's move on to topic number one with Tal Backman and Jerry Agar on today's Pub Crawl on the Drew Marshall Show. Is extending grace to Rob Ford after his death hypocritical or the right thing to do? I tuned into a lot of media this week, and they seem to be gushing about a man they really used as sarcastic news fodder for so long. And I was just wondering if that was hypocritical or just graciously Canadian and a classy thing to do. Because apparently this was a man who, let's not forget, subjected his family to some not-so-great treatment. 911 was called, from the house.
Do you know what was going on when they were called?
I think there was accusations of abuse.
On which side?
Oh, we don't know whose side?
I'm saying that there may be more to that story than...
Right.
Then you think, and I think that Rob Ford was manning up and letting people blame him if that's what they wanted to do.
You know what? You just totally shoved my face in this. That was great.
I'm saying I wasn't there. But by talking to people who were much more connected, I think there's a lot more to it, is all I'm saying.
There's two sides of the story. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So obviously he passes at the age of 46. And I'm sitting here thinking, here's a guy we all kind of poked a little stick at over the years. Now he dies too young, horribly, tragically. And there's something inside of me that feels, ugh. Now we can't say anything now, and I don't know what's going on inside. Tal, what do you think about this?
I think Rob Ford really disgraced the city of Toronto. I think he really made things tough for his long-suffering wife. I'm not saying she's a saint. I really don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he was all bad. Seems like he was a nice fella, you know, genial, coached football and stuff, but... I mean, this is a guy who, I don't know. How did he hurt the city?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How did he hurt the city? Are you kidding?
No, just because...
How did Marion Barry hurt Washington, D.C.?
Well, Washington, D.C. is in trouble financially.
How did Richard Nixon hurt the United States? What are you talking about?
So you're saying just because he did some things that were a little scrupulous, that doesn't mean he necessarily hurt Toronto.
No, I don't think. In fact, I think he helped Toronto. He hurt himself. And some people may have been embarrassed about it. But here's my big problem with so many people in the city of Toronto.
Yeah.
They're so aghast about how he's so terrible. And these things he did, he's so terrible, even though he was doing them many times because he was under the influence of drugs.
Right.
And meanwhile, these very same people tell us we have to be so caring of people who take drugs that we have to set up a safe place for them to do it. Except for Rob Ford.
Right.
He's evil. All the rest of them just need help.
Right, right. Okay.
You want to talk disingenuous? There it is, right there.
Okay, yeah, Tal.
But you've accurately pointed out a hypocrisy of the left. That doesn't mean that Rob Ford wasn't a disgrace to himself and didn't make Toronto look stupid because they, you know, they voted for a guy and many people within Toronto continue to support a guy who was, I mean, hanging around with drug dealers, guys that like the Toronto City Police are like trying to arrest and find, you know, they're doing sting operations and Rob Ford is hanging out with them doing crack and stuff.
So
and then lying about it, and we're not even getting into all of the other stuff for which there is some reason to believe,
right,
you know, that he was up to.
So, I mean, you know, at funerals, and I'm a guy who grew up in the funeral industry, I've done a lot of funerals, I've been to a lot of funerals, we all say nice stuff to people at funerals. But I want to know if Rob Ford should be honored or just simply remembered when it comes to, in other words, are we going to name a street after him in Toronto? Are we going to raise a stat? Are we going to do, you know, is this a man that we should honor or simply remember? Jerry?
Well, I think it's on both sides. I mean, certainly you don't want to honor some of the personal failings that he had. You can't honor that. You could certainly honor the fact that he was a better mayor financially and for the future of the city than the guy who preceded him, Miller. And he literally was better in that regard. But I think the really great answer to that was on my show the day that Rob Ford died, and we had the guy who was actually kind of acting mayor for a bit, Norm Kelly, mm-hmm, and a question was asked to Norm Kelly, you're kind of a historian, how do you think Rob Ford's going to be remembered? And he said, with an era.
With... Really?
The Rob Ford era.
Yeah.
Good or bad, whatever
yeah.
you think,
yeah.
that's probably true.
Okay, so just summarizing this, the bottom for all of this for me is the word grace. Grace is, I guess I've heard people say something like this. Basically, you get something that you don't really deserve. And we think about that in spiritual terms. You know, as far as God is concerned, if there is a God, God is pure, perfect, and holy. And he extends grace to us because we don't deserve the kind of great things that God has bestowed upon us.
Right.
But when we compare ourselves to God. But when it comes to treating other people, especially as people of faith and God people, and we're trying to rise above and live in a different plane and do the right thing or whatever else, do we simply drop all the, what Rob Ford has done and go step into grace? And what does grace really look like? You know, sometimes I think people walk in this air of grace, and really it's just an air of sweeping stuff under the carpet. It's not grace. It's, I don't have the testicular fortitude. Talk about this.
You know? Well, sure, but I think before Tal weighs in here, the we run the gamut with so many people because everybody has an opinion on Rob Ford.
Right.
And some have probably had too high an opinion of him, so they're never going to say anything bad. Some of the politicians, I think, who were saying nice things were genuine in the fact that, hey, he nobody is all bad, and yeah. there were some good things he did, and genuinely felt for the fact that he leaves behind a family, and you know, his mother is still alive. Nobody, regardless of how old you are, nobody should see their children
no,
die.
No, that's not cool.
So all of that, and some of the people were just hypocritical about it, no question.
All right, Tal, final say in this topic?
Well, two quick things, I guess. I mean, the whole grace thing, there's this odd thing amongst Christians where, you know, the emphasis on grace, you know, it kind of translates into a everybody gets out of jail free card forever, no matter what they do, because Jesus Christ already paid the price for that.
Right.
Okay, and a lot of these people happen to be kind of politically conservative or whatever, and sometimes this kind of translates into a who are we to judge? Okay,
right. Right.
And my second point is, I do not think it is too much to ask, too much to expect for a mayor, a governor, a prime minister, a president, anybody to not break the law, to not hang out with drug dealers, buy drugs, take drugs, show up at council meetings under the influence,
yep.
make a total mockery of the electoral process, make his people who supported him, donated hundreds of hours of their time, hundreds of dollars, make them look like idiots. Like,
okay.
If you're going to get elected, do the job. If you can't even control yourself to that extent, you don't...
Then step down.
Get lost.
Right, yeah. I feel the same way about ministers. Okay, moving on to our second topic. Really, what's the real question behind the Gomeshi trial? Obviously, CBC icon Jean Gomeshi has been found not guilty. Some would say innocent, but others would say not guilty of all charges against him. 4 counts of sexual assault and 1 count of choking. Lawyers have praised the decision, even amidst a groundswell of hashtag I believe survivors protest. So is this simply a sort of a battle of the sexes played out in extreme, in public forum? Oscar Wilde's big quote. Everybody should know this. Everything in the world is about sex, except sex. Sex is about power. Or is just simply, and Tal, we'll go with you first in this one, is it simply just an isolated incident of a bad man doing bad things to women?
Well, what else would it be? I don't get it. I mean, the social media is just, you know, exploding with people kind of trying to turn this thing into some, you know, something way, way, way beyond what it is. Like one particular trial is this sort of meaningful referendum on all kinds of things kind of going around in society. Yeah, I mean, what criminal trials are is, you have one person who is alleged to have committed a crime, and then you have fact-finding protocols, and you try that person. You're not trying societal trends, you know? So what else would it be?
So you're saying that as a society, we're putting too much on this one case?
Well, some people are. I mean, there are a lot of sensible people out there who recognize this for what it is. And what it was is a guy who, to me, seems like a total jerk, a total greaseball, slimebag, egomaniac. I've never been able to stand this guy. He's, to my mind, totally mediocre. Anyway, but...
How do you really feel, Tom?
There's not even remotely enough evidence to convict him of felony assault and destroy his life and send him to a prison.
Right.
So however much we want to, you know, we do feel sympathy for the victims of sexual abuse, this was a legal proceeding. He has to have been acquitted, and he was acquitted. In that sense, I'll just finish on this. The system operated as it should have in this case. But I'm sorry, I'm not saying he wasn't guilty. I'm saying there's not enough good reason to believe that he was, and he has to be acquitted. That protects, in the end, women as much as men.
Yeah,
Jerry?
Well said, I think, all the way through. And he has another trial coming up. He's not in the clear,
no.
By the way. So he has another trial, and many other people who have made accusations against him. He'll never get back where he was in the court of public opinion. Hmm. I want to quibble, in fact, just flat out argue, with that Oscar Wilde quote. What a, you know, like, there's a lot of reasons to respect Oscar Wilde, but that's a stupid thing to say. Sex is not just about power. Maybe it is for some people. Maybe it is for Gian Gomeshi. So I understand why you use the quote, but for many people, it is, in fact, an expression of love, of enjoyment. It isn't for everybody power over another person. I think that's just ridiculous.
100%, and maybe for Oscar Wilde it was. After all, Oscar Wilde was like running around preying on teenage boys.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from both of you is don't ever quote from Oscar Wilde again. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you can read The Raven on the air if you like. But.
Yeah, he's a witty guy, but speaking of sex abuse, he'd be in jail right now if that happened in 2015 or 16.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, my final question on this is, and Jerry, you can probably speak to this better than a lot of people because of what you do and all the great people you speak to on your fantastic radio show. Can he not sue the pants off these people that have accused him and ruined his life? His life?
Apparently not. I mean, that question came up, and I had legal expertise in the studio when we asked about it, and apparently not. Well, not criminally. Whether or not
civilly.
He may, maybe. I'm not exactly sure.
That's what people do. When isn't that what happened with OJ, right? It didn't, you're innocent, and then they sued the pants off him.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he's probably going to wait for the next trial and see how that goes.
All right, final topic for these two. Who would you rather have lead the fight against ISIS, Hillary or Trump? If the American election comes down to a political woman on the inside or B, a misogynistic man on the outside, who would you vote for when it comes to protecting Canada from terror? Because I think Justin might need a big brother. Your call, Jerry?
Or a big sister? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, a big sibling.
Okay, I have no idea how Donald Trump would do this. I don't. I still feel that he isn't going to be the nominee. He hasn't gathered enough quickly enough yet to get past 50%. And if they get to the convention in Cleveland in, I think it's July, and he doesn't have the 1,237 or whatever it is, I think they're going to work really hard to unload him. Mm. I don't think they want him, they being the Republicans.
Right.
So I'm not convinced he'll be the guy yet. And I don't know how he would handle it. I just know I don't want Hillary because I've seen how she's handled things like Benghazi, for instance. And it frightens me that she's incompetent.
So which frightens you more, the misogynistic man on the outside or insider political woman?
What's misogynism got to do with it? Misogyny got to do with it?
Well, I think it gives telltale signs to someone's character. If you are a misogynistic man in this day and age and you're running to be the most powerful person in the world, I think it plays in how you...
No, you didn't ask us whether I want him to be president. You asked if I want him to fight ISIS. Oh. I want some bad... I want a bad man fighting ISIS.
All right, so Gian Gomeshi should fight ISIS.
Yes,
got it.
There you go.
Okay. Tal, your call?
Well, like Jerry, I mean, I don't know. You don't know. Donald Trump doesn't know. Nobody has any idea what Donald Trump would do as president to combat ISIS. I mean, he's been kind of all over the place, and I'm, you know, I'm not saying don't vote for him or that whatever. I'm just saying there's a huge question mark there. But as Jerry pointed out, I mean, Hillary Clinton has been right up there in the establishment, basically helping create the problems of the Middle East for the last 15, 20 years and even beyond. I mean, there's just no way around that, you know, so, yeah.
No, I was just thinking, thank you for pausing while I inhaled, Tal. It was very polite of you. I was just thinking about where we stand on the national security front. Do you, and you know, we're talking earlier about whether whether our prime minister has the respect of other world leaders. And when I think about our country, and then, now we're also into the conversation about talking heads and who really does what, and are the leaders just puppets? But do you want the prince from Little Mermaid fighting against ISIS?
Well, I mean, Justin Trudeau is, I mean, he's the perfect prime minister for Canada. You know, a vain, you know, in many respects, a vain, stupid, self-obsessed, you know, population. I mean, who in the world could vote for this guy? He's a complete airhead, as far as I'm concerned. Never. I know this is going to sound rich coming from me, but
yes,
that's a whole other story.
Yes, it is.
But there is no possible way, I am sorry, everybody, there is no possible way that this guy would have ever been elected an MP, or certainly not the head of the once great Liberal Party, or become prime minister without his last name. I mean, I would trust my next-door neighbor, who I don't even really know, more than I would trust Justin Trudeau when it comes to, like, protecting an entire nation against violent lunatics.
Dude, you're supposed to be the liberal guy in this conversation.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say that at first I thought that was incredible that you said this will sound rich coming from me. It sounds more credible coming from you.
Yeah.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau never said or did anything to warrant becoming the prime minister of, you know, one of the great places in the world to live in. And the fact, you know, the people that voted for this guy, I mean, I don't know, it's like, Stephen Harper overstayed his welcome. I understand that. I mean, you know, maybe you get 8 years and you should just retire after that. It happened to Margaret Thatcher. It happens to people, whatever.
So
maybe that was
States.
A mistake. People get bored. They want somebody new, and maybe that was the attraction of Justin, but he's like the selfie prime minister. I mean, I just...
Hey, we got a selfie pope, man. That's in now. Jerry, final word on this one?
Well, I think ultimately, if you're asking who needs to be the leader against ISIS, and we're going to have our internal events, and we still have them, and it would be a good thing if he clues in each time that they are terrorist attacks and not just, you know, mental disturbances and stuff like that. We've had them. But if it becomes full-on war with ISIS on our territory as opposed to in the Middle East, he isn't going to be leading it. The United States will be leading it. And, you know, we benefit greatly, whether we like it or not, from the fact that the world's greatest military is right next door.
I actually quite enjoyed that conversation. I didn't think I would.
I thought you were going to have a liberal on with me.
I tried.
He wouldn't let me talk.
No, Tim's mic's malfunctioning today. Listen, Tal, I appreciate your guts. I always love it when you're on our show. Next time you're in town, let's go to another gig. You liked the last one I took you to.
Yeah, that was good. That was fun.
All right. Appreciate it, dude. We'll take care and enjoy your tree hugging.
Nice chatting with you.
Okay, Tal Backman on the Drew Marshall Show. Always a pleasure. And Jerry Agar, thank you very much for making the hoof in. You could have just sat at home in your underwear and talked on the phone, but you came all the way to wherever we are.
Don't think I haven't done that.
I know.
Done whole shows in my pajamas.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much. That is the end of our show. If you missed any of today's show, you want to go to our website. By the end of the week, we'll have everything reloaded for your listening pleasure, including that lovely exchange between Jerry Agar and Tal Backman. Tim, thanks for doing the show. Megs, thanks for sitting in the corner. And listen, I hope you all find the God who sees you. Bye-bye.
I'm swearing like a trooper, and I'm drinking like a bomb. I'm a liberal backslider, and it sure is a lot of fun. Well, I take a stand on justice, and I take a stand on race. I'm gonna take me a TV evangelist and punch him in the face. I sing about the hope that's in me and ask why the poor aren't fed. But if I don't toe the party line, it'd be better if I were dead. I am a liberal backslider, sliding about 10 years. People ask me how I'm doing and I come from all their fears. I'm swearing like a trooper and I'm drinking like a bum. I'm a liberal backslider, and it sure is a lot of fun. So I'll be asking for forgiveness then, till the day I die. Though I can't be sure of what I've done, I think I'd better try. Well, thank God you're not the jury. Well, thank God I'm not the judge. Here's to a bigger picture. Here's to the bigger love. I